We pray every Sunday, Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But when we utter that phrase, our mind quickly leaps to those people that we believe have wronged us. And we begin to think how we're going to have to summon the courage to forgive them. Rarely do we stop to ponder the first half of the phrase. Our Father, forgive us our trespasses. Seldom do we stop to think that we primarily, first and foremost, sin against God. Our Lord has taught us to begin by saying, Father, we acknowledge our fallenness before you. We ask your forgiveness. Now, what are we asking for when we ask God to forgive us? We need to know the answer to that because it pertains to how we forgive others. We are not saying, Father, forgive us. I know I did wrongly, but hey, I'm sorry about it. Let's just forget all about it. We're not saying, Lord, I know I did wrong. I know I hurt you. I hurt others. But I really don't want to bear any consequences. We're not saying, Lord, I know I sinned. But let's just trivialize it and look over it. We're not asking for God any of those things when we ask for forgiveness. We're saying, Lord, I know I have done wrong. I know I brought darkness into the world through my actions. But even though I have fallen short of your calling, stay in positive relationship with me. Do not let the evil that I have done break our relationship. Stay in positive relationship with me. Likewise, when we forgive others, we're not saying, okay, you have hurt me, but I'm going to forget all about it. Yes, you've harmed me, but I'm just going to pretend it never happened. No, what we're saying is, even though you have hurt me, I resolve to stay in positive relationship with you. I am not going to let the darkness you've created quench our light. I'm going to work to stay in relationship with you. That is receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. Staying in relationship with God and in relationship with others. Jesus boils this prayer down to the essence of life. He knows we cannot live without daily bread. He knows we also cannot live without being forgiven and forgiving. He knows that we need to be accepting grace and giving grace simultaneously. For all of its existence, East Germany was officially an atheistic country. And yet, its first parliamentary act was theological. When East Germany gathered its first parliament, their very first action was to express repentance for their role in the oppression and the Holocaust of the Jews. And they asked the Jewish people for forgiveness. This officially atheistic country had enough influence of Luther to know that the only way to create a new way, the only way to enter in relationship with the Jews or the world, was to express repentance and to ask forgiveness. The odd thing is, when you and I forgive someone, we think we're doing them the favor. We think in forgiving others, we're benefiting them. No. If I carry a grudge against you, I have to carry the grudge within me. If I bear resentment against you, I have to maintain that resentment within my own heart, and it blocks me off from receiving the grace of God. As long as I bear anger in my heart against you, I harbor poison, a corrosive poison within myself. I think some years ago of a POW convention. POWs from Vietnam gathered together, and one cellmate asked the other cellmate, "Have you forgiven our captors?" And the man shot back, "No, never." And his cellmate said, "Then I guess they still have you in prison, don't they?" When we release our resentment, when we let go of our hatred, when we relinquish our grudge, we're saying to someone else, "I am going to view your harm of me within the prism of God's amazing grace. And I'm going to trust that God is working within you even as I allow God to work within me. I believe that God is going to make you a new creature even as God is making me a new creature." That is why our Lord teaches us to pray, "Father, forgive me even as I forgive those who have done harm unto me." It opens our being up to God's strength and grace and cleansing power. If I say the name Susan LaBerge, I bet not a soul in here recognizes that name. If I say the name Manson Murders, the light goes on in some of your heads. Susan LaBerge was the daughter of the LaBiancas who were murdered by Manson's hitchman, chief among them, a drifter by the name of Charles Watson. Susan LaBerge grew up with an anger that turned to hatred, that turned to rage, that turned to self-destruction. And after years of self-destruction, she became a Christian. And one night she was at church watching a film about forgiveness. And in it was featured, of all people, Charles Watson, who was talking about God forgiving him his deed. And she thought, "Well, if God has forgiven him, I have to forgive him too." So she wrote and began a correspondence with a man who murdered her parents. They carried on a long correspondence. She never identified who she was. And then finally arranged in prison a face-to-face. And she admitted who she was. And when they touched, and she looked in the eyes of her parents' murderer and said these words, "I forgive you." She said she felt an incredible lightness of being. A great burden of hatred and rage came out of her, and she realized in forgiving him, she had cleansed herself. In forgiving him, she had opened herself up to a deeper relationship with God. That's what our Lord is asking us to do as we pray. Father, forgive us even as we forgive others. There is a fairy tale, German, I think, about a stone that's placed in the middle of a bridge. And upon that stone is written, "All liars will trip on me." Anyone who is telling a lie, living a lie, crosses that bridge and finds himself prostrate. Jesus has placed such a stone in the middle of this prayer. Here we are, breathing these wonderful phrases, "Oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us your living bread," and suddenly our Lord places a stone. None of these things can come true if our spirit is not open to receive forgiveness and to extend it. We cannot pray a prayer of holiness while living a life of vengeance. We cannot seek relationship with God while living a life full of deceit and anger and hatred. The Lord's Prayer is a God-centered prayer. You cannot pray a God-centered prayer if you're focused upon your hurts, those who have harmed you, your needs, your suffering. You cannot pray a God-centered prayer when it's an egocentric prayer at heart. And so you have to pray honestly, not to stumble on the stone in the middle of the prayer. "Father, forgive me as I forgive others." Jesus knows this very well. He knows that we would love for God to be very tolerant toward us. We'd like God not to be so tolerant to those of whom we disapprove. Sometimes we're like Jonah, angry at God showing compassion toward those Ninevites who are repentant because we regard them as pagans. Sometimes we're like the elder brother who resents the father's throwing his arms in love around the prodigal son who came back. We wouldn't have done the same. Jesus knows we would like to put boundaries on God's grace. And Jesus says, only God can do that. But our Lord says you cannot ask for forgiveness for yourself while simultaneously withholding forgiveness with others without undercutting the very foundation of your prayer. You cannot live in right relationship with God even as you try to maintain estrangement with those around you. To pray this prayer, you have to pray and really mean, "Father, forgive me as I pour myself out in forgiveness upon those who have harmed me." We all fall short of God's glory. The great theologian Helmut Thielicke puts it this way: all of us are echoes. Echoes. What does he mean? He means that all of us are born into a world that is fallen. We are influenced by the cumulative brutality and hatred and selfishness and greed that has come before us. That does not excuse us, because we will add our own brutality and hatred and greed and selfishness to the totality of the fallenness of the world. But the fact that we live in a fallen world and are shaped by those negative influences and are around others shaped by them should give us eyes of compassion, not only as we look upon our sins, but the sins of those around us. Start with my first point. It is God. It is God against whom we have ultimately sinned. It is God we have fallen short of his call first and foremost. But it is also God through Christ who bridged the chasm between God and humanity, and between humanity and humanity. Now, if Bobby has wronged me, and I offer him forgiveness, I might think I stand in God's position, dispensing grace. But in fact, Bobby and I both stand on the same side of the chasm before God. In God's eyes, He doesn't look upon us as sinner and sinned against. In God's eyes, we're both on the same side. We're both the same person. We're both sinners. There is no distinction in God's eyes between those who have done the harming and those who have received the harm, because we're all falling short of God's glory. What does that mean? It means then the only way we accept each other is we recognize we are equals. I think of a great Croatian theologian who, after that fierce, horrible conflict between the Croatians and the Serbs, publicly wondered if he could forgive the Serbs for all the horrible things they had done. But then he came to realization. He said, I cannot forgive them unless I open my being to the realization that I must hear their accusations of atrocity against me. I must hear their complaints against me. I must hear their injustice against me. I must drop the position that I am in the right and they are in the wrong. The cross of Jesus forces me to drop the facade of righteousness. The cross of Jesus forces us all to drop the facade of righteousness. Whether sinned against or sinning, we all stand in need of God's grace. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Does that mean God won't forgive us if we don't forgive others? That's not what it says. This is a prayer which Jesus is trying to teach us how to receive God's grace. And in order to do that, we have to prepare ourselves through the proper actions. For 10 years, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And I became addicted to watching Kentucky basketball. I would watch 25, 30 games a season. And then in my first pastorate, I moved to a little South Carolina town, Edgefield, South Carolina, that didn't even have ESPN. No sports, no Cats games. So, on some nights when the Cats were playing, I would drive my car up to the town square, the highest point in the region, and position my car just right so that I could catch WHAS Clear Channel and listen to the Kentucky basketball game. God's forgiveness is always being broadcast. But we have to position our lives in such a way that we can receive it. When we forgive others, we position our lives to receive God's grace and strength. The philosopher Jacob Bima said that the revelatory moment of his life was when he went into his workshop and saw a shaft of sunlight coming into his workshop and shining upon a tin vessel. And the sunlight beamed off of that tin vessel and the light illumined, radiated the entire room. Bima realized that's the Christian life. God's grace is the sunlight. We are the tin vessels. And when the light shines upon us, we're meant to radiate God's warmth into the world and lives around us. That is what it means to really pray. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. May we pray together. Our Lord, your word stuns us, slices through our defenses and prevarications. and reminds us that we are in need of grace each day and can only receive it as we open our beings to give it. May your grace and mercy work in our lives to strengthen our relationship of redemption and empower us to strengthen our relationship with others. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God has moved through the words of the Christ to strike to your heart, we issue invitation to respond, to claim this Christ and His forgiveness, His redemption as Savior and Lord, to come splice your life into the life of this fellowship. Come make church with us, be family with us by transfer of letter, by statement. Come, respond, even as we stand to sing together.